humanly speaking, it is impossible to live the Christian life. Paul said in Romans 8 that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He said that the carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Romans 8 says it is impossible for those that are in the flesh to please God. We cannot and we dare not live the Christian life in the flesh. We cannot live the Christian life by human resolve or by human decision. The very first chapter of the Gospel of John says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh," not by human decision that means, "nor of the will of man, but of God." A Christian is a person who has been born by the power of God's Spirit. Born of God, born from above. And in the Christian life, God calls us to a life of holiness, a life of surrender, a life of prayer. God calls us to a life of service, a life of work, a life of witness. He calls us to bear the cross. He calls us as well to bring forth fruit unto God. And the world and the devil and the flesh are absolutely opposed to us ever living the Christian life. We are called to do certain things and we are called to be certain things that it is humanly impossible for us to be and it is humanly impossible for us to do. And I hope that you've noticed that in our study of this great epistle of Paul to the Church of Philippi, Paul has been going to great lengths to show to us, in reality, what a Christian actually is. And I think if we have learned anything in our study of this great letter, that a Christian is much more than an individual who believes certain things. A Christian is a person who is much more than an individual who has maybe made certain resolves or endeavors to live a certain way. A Christian is a supernatural being in one sense. A Christian is someone who has been born again by the Spirit of God. A Christian is a person who is indwelt by the Spirit of God. A Christian is a person who has been conformed and is being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ our Lord. A Christian is a person who has been made a new creature in Jesus Christ. Henry Scougal many years ago wrote a wonderful little book entitled The Life of God in the Soul of Man. And in that book he was just describing what a Christian is. A Christian is a person who has got the life of God in them. And Christianity is therefore something supernatural. Leonard Ravenhill said, if your Christianity is not supernatural, it is superficial. If you look back there at the third chapter of this great letter of Paul to the church of Philippi, and you look at what Paul says in verse number 7 down to verse number 14, these remarkable statements that he makes. He says, "What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord." He desires and expresses his supreme desire is that he may win Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Friends, this morning, how do we explain such desires and such endeavors on the basis of the human? The reality is, you cannot. Paul attributes it all to the power of God working in him and working through him. In chapter 2, verse 13, he lays down a great foundation for what a Christian is. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And then in chapter 4, 13, he shows the practical outworking of the Christian life. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He tells us here there's a divine power. There's a divine strength working in me, working through me, enabling me to live the Christian life. Now maybe this morning you're not yet a Christian and you would say, how can I ever live the Christian life? Or maybe you are a Christian this morning and you're struggling and you're asking yourself, how can I survive the Christian life? How can I live a God-honoring Christian life? Well, here's the answer in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And as we think about this text and this great subject, how to live the Christian life, in true Free Presbyterian fashion, there are three things that I would like you to notice. First of all, the powerful enablement of divine strength. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The powerful enablement of divine strength. I can do all things. Now it has to be said that whenever Paul indicates I can do all things, he's not speaking about being able to do all things in the absolute sense of the term. If Paul or any other Christian was able to do all things imaginable, that would make us omnipotent, that would make us to be God himself. And so Paul is not speaking here about doing all things in the absolute sense. A Christian cannot jump over their house. A Christian cannot walk in the ceiling. A Christian is not some type of spiritual superhero that can do all things in the absolute sense of the term. It literally means I can do all things that are expedient. I can do all things that God calls me to do. I can do all things that God asks me to do, and I can be all things that God asks me to be, but I cannot be those things in the flesh. You remember in John 15 and verse 5, Jesus Christ our Lord said, without me ye can do nothing. And of course he didn't mean that in one sense, in the absolute sense either, because people can sin, and they can go their own way and do their own thing. But to live a God-honoring life, a life that brings forth fruit unto God, we cannot do that in and of ourselves. It's entirely impossible. But Paul is telling us here, I can perform any duty. I can face any trial. I can overcome any temptation. Because there is a divine power at work in my life. John Wesley in his commentary in the New Testament put it this way, I can fulfill all the will of God for my life through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that summarizes it. I can do all the things that God calls me to do and reveals it to be God's will for me in his word. I can do all those things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Whether it's service for Christ, or suffering for Christ. Paul's saying anything that God calls me to do, there's power available for me to be able to do it. Now if we think about that little phrase, I can do all things, that leads us to think about some of the things that Paul has already been speaking about in this great letter to the church at Philippi. Some of the things that Paul has done, he has only been able to do them in and through Jesus Christ. Think first of all about his conversion to Christ. You turn back to the third chapter and he speaks about a time in his life whenever he was so confident in the flesh, living a certain way to earn merit and favor before God. In verse number 4 of the third chapter, he says, I might be able to trust in the flesh. He says, I could have confidence in the flesh. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day. I was of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I have counted loss for Christ. He's showing us something of his conversion. I was a Pharisee. I was religious. I persecuted the church. I hated the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I hated those people who were called Christians. But all of a sudden, on the road to Damascus, all of that changed in a moment of time. It wasn't that Paul, in and of himself, had a change of heart. It wasn't that Paul made a decision that all of a sudden I would like to try to be a Christian. No, there was a divine power that came upon him that day and transformed his life completely and turned his life right around. You remember the disciples asked the Lord once a question, who then can be saved? And the Lord said, with man, this is impossible. But it's only possible with God. And you look at the conversion of the Apostle Paul, and it would have been impossible without the power of God. You take a man that hates the name of Jesus Christ. You take a man that hates Christians. You take a man that's going out with the express purpose to persecute the church. And in a moment of time, he decides, I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to become a Christian, and I'm going to become a member of the church that I once labored to destroy. It's remarkable, isn't it? What happened in his life? The power of God came upon him and enabled him to do something that, humanly speaking, he would never have done. And every Christian can testify to the same thing. None of us today would be converted at all. None of us this morning would have one desire towards God and toward His Son, Jesus Christ, were it not for this powerful enablement of divine strength. And then in verse number 13 and 14 of the third chapter, Paul speaks about continuing in Christ. Not just his conversion to Christ, but his going on, his continuing. He says in verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's telling us, I'm pressing on. I'm persevering. I'm growing in grace. I'm gaining ground. And beloved, this morning, that is absolutely imperative. That is absolutely vital. That if we are Christian people at all, that we're continuing, we're growing in grace, we're gaining ground, we're moving on, we're pressing toward the mark. That is the evidence of true conversion, perseverance, and continuance. And again, Paul expresses this, I am continuing, I'm pressing on. How? Why? Because of the power of Christ that is working in me. I can only do it through Jesus Christ, which strengtheneth me now. One of the pioneer missionaries to China was a man called Robert Morrison, Scotchman. He labored in China for 8 years before seeing his first convert. Now that's hard. In fact, he labored in China for a total of 27 years. And was only home on furlough once during that 27-year period. And at the end of the 27 years, had approximately 10 converts for over a quarter of a century laboring in China. Now, whenever Robert Morrison told his father, I'm going to theological seminary in London, I'm going to prepare myself for the mission field, his father wanted him to stay at home, wanted him to take over the family business, and wrote to him whenever he was a young student in London studying for the work of God in the mission field. His father wrote to him, put a guilt trip on him, made him feel guilty, says the family business is suffering as a result of your endeavouring to pursue this wild career as a missionary. And Robert wrote back, he says, I've put my hand to the plough, I cannot look back. And at the same time, he wrote these words in his diary, a prayer. He says, Jesus, I have given myself up to thy service. The question with me is, where shall I serve thee? I learn from thy word that it is thy holy pleasure that the gospel shall be preached in all the world. My desire is to engage where labors are most wanted. Perhaps one part of the field is more difficult than another. I am equally unfit for any, but through thy strengthening me, I can do all things. O Lord, guide me in this. Enable me to count the cost and having come to a resolution to act consistently. Purposing in his heart, I've put my hand to the plow. I've taken up the cross. I'm going down the road and I dare not turn back. But how can I live such a life? Only through Christ which strengtheneth me. And it was through the labours of men like Robert Morrison that paved the way for other men like Hudson Taylor to press into the interior of China. Conversion to Christ. Continuing in Christ. What about consecration to Christ? Chapter 3 again, and verse number 7. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Jesus Christ. Andrew Murray has written a great little book entitled Absolute Surrender. And that's what Paul is speaking about here. Absolute surrender. I have suffered the loss of all things. I have got rid of every entrapment, legitimate or illegitimate, anything that holds me back, every sin and the weight that so easily holds me back. I've laid it all aside because I want to go on and I want to go through with God. Absolute surrender. Consecration. How does a man consecrate his life to Jesus Christ? It's only through this divine enablement. The powerful enablement of divine strength. Then as well, there's conformity to Christ. Chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Robert Murray McShane said, it is not so much great talents that God blesses, so much as likeness to Jesus Christ. And friends, this morning, that is the very goal of the gospel. Not just one day to get us to heaven. Not just to keep us out of hell. But the goal of the gospel and the goal of grace is to conform us more and more to the image of Jesus Christ our Lord. How can a sinner, born in sin and shapen in iniquity, be conformed in any way at all to the image of Jesus Christ our Lord? It's only through the power that God is able to give. Leonard Ravenhill once said, the greatest miracle that God ever performed on the face of this earth since the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is to take an unholy man out of an unholy world, save him and make him holy and put him back in that unholy world and keep him living a holy life until the day where Jesus Christ comes or the day whenever Jesus Christ calls him home. It's a miracle. Conformity to Christ, only possible through the power that God is able to give. What about compatibility with Christ? In chapter 1 and verse number 10, Paul says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. A life compatible, a profession that is compatible with Jesus Christ, with faith in Jesus Christ. Sincere, honest, earnest, the same publicly as we are privately, without offense, life and lips in total agreement. How can a person ever reach such a place? It's only through Jesus Christ and his power. What about our conversation in Christ? Chapter 1 and verse number 27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And we have noted already that the word conversation means our lifestyle, our behavior, our manner of living. And here's the Apostle Paul living a godly life in an ungodly world to the glory of God, living the Christian life in an un-Christian culture, in an un-Christian society. How did he do it? He did it through the power of Christ that was able to strengthen him. Friends, let's not blame this morning the spirit of the age for living a lukewarm, carnal Christian existence. There's power available to live a godly life. And then last Lord's Day, we thought about Paul's contentedness in Christ. He suffered the loss of all things. He knew how to be abased. He knew how to abound. Always in all things, he says, I've learned to be content. How could he learn to be content? Well, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In other words, Paul's telling us, I can conquer through Christ. I can gain the victory over every trial, over every temptation. I can be victorious in every duty. I don't have to live a life of defeat to self, to sin, and to Satan. I can live a victorious and a glorious and an enjoyable Christian life. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Powerful enablement of divine strength. Very briefly, very quickly, secondly, the personal embodiment of divine strength. I can do all things through Christ. Jesus Christ our Lord is the personal embodiment of divine strength and divine power. In fact, whenever Paul was writing to the church at Colossae, Colossians 2 verse 9, he made this remarkable statement. I would love to look at it in great detail sometime. In him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Isn't that a remarkable verse? The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord. Every single attribute of God, you will see it in Jesus Christ. He has declared and shown to this world the glory of God the Father. In fact, Jesus Christ, it says in 1 Corinthians 1:24, is the very embodiment of the power of Almighty God Himself. Isaiah prophesied of it. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments of Bozrah, traveling in the greatness of His strength, glorious in His power? Jesus Christ, who said, all power is given unto me. His life was nothing but a display of the power of Almighty God. And all the power that the Christian needs is available to us through Christ, it says here, or we could render it as well, in Christ. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, Christ is all sufficient for every circumstance, for every eventuality, and for every possibility. What a remarkable statement. Christ is all sufficient for every circumstance, for every eventuality, and for every possibility. Child of God, what are you going through this morning? Are you in the valley of bereavement? Are you struggling with sin and temptation? Are you struggling this morning with loneliness? Are you thinking of giving up and throwing the towel in? Are you tried and tested and tempted? Are you going through something this morning that nobody else knows anything about? Are you seeking divine guidance? Are you facing trial in the workplace? Are you on the brink of making a great decision? Are there problems in your home? Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. His grace is sufficient for us. His strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, if we're all honest this morning, living the Christian life was not something that any of us naturally desired. I look at myself and I think publicly praying, standing up before a crowd of people and talking about anything at all, certainly not the gospel, living a surrendered life, trying to live a holy life, trying to walk in fellowship with God. These are things that are completely contrary to anything I would have naturally desired. How do we explain it? Jesus Christ, His power working in us and working through us. The personal embodiment of divine strength. the powerful enablement of divine strength. Lastly, the practical acquirement of divine strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul is telling us here that the power of God is available for him to live the Christian life. And the same goes for the church of Philippi, and the same goes for this church here this morning. There's divine strength that is available for us this morning. And the great question is, how do I acquire it? Now, I would not dare limit God in any way at all. And I believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I believe in the anointing of the Spirit of God. Did not our Lord say to the disciples, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." You'll only be able to be faithful, effective witnesses whenever you're anointed and filled with the Spirit of the living God. John the Baptist says, "There cometh one after me who is mightier than I. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And folks, we need to experience the infilling of the Spirit of God. But listen, with that said, there are no shortcuts to blessing. Some people sit around and they do absolutely nothing, hoping somehow they're going to get zapped. And they're going to experience this great feeling of euphoria. But in the meantime, they do absolutely nothing. And then lament the fact that there's no power in their lives. Now in John 15, we read about Jesus Christ being the vine and the believer, the child of God, being the branches. And that holds for us a vital principle. That of abiding in Christ. And it's only through abiding, the branch abiding in the vine, that the sap can flow through the vine into the branch, strengthen it, cause it to grow, cause it ultimately to bring forth fruit. You separate the branch from the vine, it withers and it dies. And so for us to experience divine strength in Christ, we must continually abide in Him and live in constant fellowship with Him. We must experience and enjoy His presence continually. The question might be asked, how can one grow strong physically? Maybe say to myself, well, I want to get stronger. I want to get fitter. I want to try to enjoy better health, better strength. What do I do? Well, first of all, I need to look at my diet. What sort of food am I eating? What am I feeding on? How much do I eat? Am I eating too much of the wrong things or too little of the right things? How often do I eat? Am I putting the right nutrients into my body? And then I need to look after that. Am I getting enough fresh air? Am I getting enough rest? Am I getting enough sufficient exercise? And if I'm able to balance all of those things out right and say, well, I'm going to start eating right. I'm going to start getting enough sleep. I'm going to take sufficient rest. And I'm going to exercise this body. That will all help me to gain strength physically. And I think the same truths hold good in the spiritual. What am I feeding on? What am I filling my mind with? What am I filling my heart with? Am I feeding on the Word of God? Am I getting a balanced spiritual diet? Or do I just come to church once on a Sunday morning and I feed a little bit then, but for the rest of the week I feed in the filth of the world? Am I exercising myself unto godliness? Is my faith being tested and strengthened? Am I getting enough rest spiritually? Am I breathing in the atmosphere of heaven? You know, back in 1879, a fellow by the name of Walter Reichel invented a device known as the pantograph. Now, we probably don't know much about what that is, but if you picture an electric tram, and on the roof of the tram you've got a springing arm that connects it to an overhead power line, that was the pantograph, and it's been developed ever since that. But the pantograph was mounted on top of the electric tram, giving it a constant connection to the power supply. And that enables the tram to travel, not in fits and starts, not erratically, but consistently and continuously, as long as it's connected to the power supply by the overhead swinging arm. You see, before that, that little tram would go along, it would reach an electric power point rooted in the ground, it would get a boost of energy, that would give it a big shove, it would get some momentum, and then it would begin to slow down, and it might reach the next power supply, and then it would get another jolt and another boost, and it would go on, and then it would begin to slow down. And that's how many Christians live their lives. From one special meeting or one special convention to another, and they get a little boost of energy, and then they begin to slow down, and they get lethargic, and they're looking for the next big thing, and then they maybe get another little boost somewhere along the line. And then this man invented the pantograph, which gives the tram a connection to a constant and consistent power supply. And friends, it's only whenever we are living and abiding in the vine, living in close fellowship with Jesus Christ every single day, in fellowship, in union, abiding in Him, that we can enjoy this great power. We can pray for an experience from now till kingdom come, but if we are not in fellowship with Jesus Christ, we will enjoy no strength. And we will fall flat on our faces in the midst of trial, difficulty, and temptation. But as somebody once said, the will of God and the word of God will never lead you to a place where the grace of God cannot keep you. Paul says, I can do all things. Everything that God asks me to do, everything that God requires me to be, all those things, I can do them all. Not in the power of the flesh, but in and through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And friends, that's how to live the Christian life. In fellowship, in surrender, and in union with Jesus Christ our Lord. May God bless His word to your hearts this morning. We'll sing our closing hymn, which is number 506. Lord, in the fullness of Thy might, I would for Thee be strong, while runneth o'er each dear delight, to Thee would soar my song. 506, we'll stand together as we sing, and let's worship the Lord, and then stand briefly for a closing prayer. 506.